Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Official Charts Take the Hit, a podcast where we get to know music stars a little better as they face questions themed around the UK's best-selling singles of all time. This week's episode, I'm very excited to say, is a 90s boy band special. Joining us are Scott Robinson from 5, Mark Reed from A1, Jimmy Constable from 911, and Raz Bromfield from Damage. Now, I grew up listening to and loving these groups, so it was very surreal to be sat in a room with them. But the reason they're together is that they've announced 30 plus shows across the UK in February and March 2020. The tour is called Boys Are Back, and the tickets are on sale now. Each group definitely has their own kind of signature hits, but collectively they've racked up 42 top 40s on the official singles chart, including 6 number ones, and notched up more than 10 million record sales in the UK alone. I sat down with the guys to talk about the tour, all the hits back in the day, and how they handled life at the very peak of their fame. Let's have a listen. Guys, hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is bright and early, isn't it?
It is, and it's a Monday.
Yeah. It's rather bright, though, unfortunately.
Thank you all for being here at this boy band summit that we've called.
I changed the world.
It's a bit scary when you add the ages up in it from that long ago. And we don't want to go there.
You pick the best members from the boy band.
Exactly.
We're going to make boy bands great again.
Exactly. Well, good. Just so everyone knows who everyone is, can you all introduce yourselves?
Please? Absolutely. My name is Russ from Damage.
I'm Scott from 5.
I'm Jimmy from 911.
I'm Mark from A1.
Excellent. Oh, you're all well practiced. Well done.
25 years ago.
Mark kind of went in with the Batman, like, Mark from
England. Oh, yeah.
John Morrison from Boy Band 5.
Yeah. I like it. Blockbuster announcement.
Love that.
I have a lot of questions for you guys.
Good.
Go for it.
We have to stick to the rules of Take the Hit. So just to quickly explain, just so you're all fully aware, I'm going to ask you a series of questions themed around the UK's best-selling singles of all time.
We'll be in there a few times. Oh!
I'm looking into where you all land on this list. Those questions decided at random, and that's our topic of discussion.
Perfect. Cool.
Are we all clear?
Absolutely.
Ready
yes.
to go? Right.
Yes.
Raz, I'm going to get you to do the first number, if that's all right.
Yep, that's fine. Ooh, look at this. It's number 20.
So, the 20th best-selling single of all time in the UK is John Lennon, Imagine.
Right. 20?
Yeah, 20th best-selling.
Really?
Wow, I thought it'd be more.
Yeah, a lot more.
What an absolute great song.
Great song.
I think it would always fare higher in like the most popular songs of all time. Yeah. I think it's usually around the top five, but I suppose with sales and stuff. But it's a bit surprising.
Yeah. It was number one in, 1975. Well, no, it was number one in 1980 for 4 weeks, but originally it was number six in 1975.
Wow. Did it reach out again after he died?
After he died, yeah.
You always remember where you were when you saw that, because it was completely different to what was happening in the charts at the time.
Yeah.
Different kind of music, different kind of video, different kind of, you know, the way music was made.
Yeah.
So I always found when you hear that song, it was one of those where you remember where you were, or how at least how old you were when you first heard it.
Definitely, especially when you went number one after his death.
Sure, about 40.
I was, yeah. Getting off 41 then, same.
We're back again, Jim.
Yep, we're back in the room.
It's so much fun doing promo with Jim. He loves it. Love the band, didn't
you? So my question based on this is, it's a really simple one. You're all touring. Massive 30 dates, isn't it, around the UK?
It's more than that.
Is it more now?
It's got that much traction. We've added more dates.
Oh, my God.
We're really excited
looking at the dates.
Mm. We're really excited about it. It's, we've been trying to do, you know, tours, you know, with different bands. Or, you know, it's never quite worked. You know, you get one and you go, oh, they can't do it. And it's so nice that this one's finally come off.
Yeah.
And, really excited to sort of go on tour. And It's a great ticket. I'm not being funny. They're getting a lot of great songs from some really good bands, so it's exciting.
A lot of bands.
35 dates?
Yeah, so 37, I think it is now.
Nice. I should mention as well, you're touring with your respective bands. You're not clubbed together as a group.
It's not like a super group.
Well, there could be a super group performance moment.
We haven't talked about that yet, but maybe. That would be pretty massive.
I was saying that you'd actually, we haven't done any rehearsals or anything like that anyway yet, but there is something in that, doing something at some point we're all on stage together. And as I said, like, there's so many good songs out there from all the bands that, you know, why would I not want to go on stage and sing a part of someone else's song that's really, really cool songs? I think it's a nice idea, something that we could look at.
Or we could do Imagine, John Legend.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Which apparently is like 20 in the all-time.
See what we did there.
Good pop knowledge
there. Round thing.
See, my question is simple, really. It's like, did you guys imagine that this is... Did you imagine that this is the kind of what you'd be doing? It's about 20 years-ish since you all were kind of...
At least, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I did it. My answer, being Scott from Five, is no, because I didn't ever think that there would be a point where I'd be this age doing what we're doing. But I love it. I think it's incredible that we can, and I think in many ways, appreciate it even more now. I think when we was younger, you didn't quite appreciate what you had and what you'd done. And you look back at it and you go, wow, we achieved that. That's incredible. And that's, you know, speaking for all of the bands, you know, we all achieved so much and didn't realise, because we're too young, we're beyond the years, to appreciate it. And now, it's like second chance, and and you just grab it with both hands and go, right, where's it going to take me? And we're doing all right.
I think a lot of it's laid back more now as well, because obviously in the old days, everybody with their labels and, you know, there was so much pressure to kind of be in certain places, do certain things at the times, whereas now you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do. But the good thing is, you know, like Scott said, is that, you know, it's one of those things where you always talk about it whenever you're doing gigs, and we all meet each other on the road every now and then, and you kind of go, why doesn't somebody do like a smash hits kind of thing where everybody used to be together and do all the hits in one night? So everybody that, you know, came might not necessarily be fans of, you know, one band in particular, might be fans of everybody, but just want to go out and have a good night. Especially now, because you notice that a lot of the women, they just want a women's night. So they go out, they go to a few bars, have a few drinks, and they go, right, let's go and relive what it was like when we were 16, 17, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And to hear that many hits in one night from all their bands, you know, I mean, it's just surprising that it hasn't been done before.
I'm gutted. Yeah. I can't go to it. I've got to perform it. I want to go to it. It's a good gig.
Yeah. Well, when we all started out, there were so many things like that. We had, as Scott said, we had the Smash Hits tour. We had various other things, Disney Channel, all that kind of stuff. But I don't really know what there is like that now. So as you say, the only chance people can get to see that kind of combination of bands all together on the same stage is at this tour.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the hits, Jimmy. Lots of hits to perform. There's 42 top 40 singles between your account.
No, and stop it!
And it's really evenly split as well.
Wow, 42.
Yes, yeah. Six number ones.
It's not bad for a ticket, though, is it?
It's
not bad at all. Show. So I'm expecting a 42 song set list, right?
Well, this is the thing.
Yeah, I think so.
How long's the show?
I think that's what you're getting. Or somewhere near that.
The thing is, we have no idea how the show is going to be laid out or anything like that. So we don't know.
It's early.
Very much so.
We're doing the promo for it now. It's next year. It's February, March. So it's a long time before we start to think about what songs. I mean, we all know roughly what songs we're going to sing, purely on the basis that you sing your biggest hits and then you go from there, and then chuck in a couple of medleys.
And it's also based on time as well, isn't it? Because at the minute they haven't told us how long you get.
Yeah, 42 songs is that's a lot.
7 hours.
Hang on, wait. Let's divide that between four bands. Someone's going to math for us. So 42 divided by four bands.
10 and a bit.
No chance. We are not doing five. Are not doing 10 songs. But
how
great now!
How good are you getting tonight? You get to pick what you want, really.
Oh, yeah.
How nice, and you've got a bit of
selection options rather than like we've only got these only.
And you can't beat a good medley, you know, exactly. Cramming and Few, and Mega Mix.
And I think the mashup's a good idea as well.
See, we're talking about it now, and we're all like, yeah, that sounds good. You're definitely going to get resistance from different members of different bands, without a doubt.
Really?
I don't think you get any from us. I'd be like, let's just get on.
I think you're going to get people going, like, Sean. Sean go, no, no, it's Sean.
Not sure about that one.
No, no, it's not. I'm not singing Get a Romance.
But that's why I think it would work if we actually did a song, perhaps just that wasn't one of ours, or just a song that everybody sings together, or something like that. You know.
Yeah. Was anyone here, or you know, not in the room, reluctant to sign up for this tour?
No, I know of absolutely not.
To be honest. Yeah. When we, as I said, there's been other tours that we've been offered that in a different bit, and you go, I'm not sure I see that dynamic, and that, not mentioning any other bands, but this one in particular was a very easy yes for us, because you looked at the songs, first and foremost, brilliant songs.
Yeah.
All the bands had massive success. It wasn't like, you don't feel like you're one band's carrying this, and it's a very good collective of great pop music, so very easy to say yes to, yeah.
And we did a big reunion tour as well together, so
we saw how strong everybody was. I mean, that was such an exciting show, seeing everybody's set and stuff. So we feel the same. As soon as we saw this lineup, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That'd be awesome.
That big reunion show was massive, and you guys all tour and perform constantly anyway, so it's almost just more economical for you all to join together, right?
Makes loads of sense.
Yeah. We could do an Ed Sheeran with this and tour for at least 2 years around the world. What are you saying, boys?
Yeah, yeah. European.
Where do I sign? As long as I can take the kids with me.
Yeah.
That changes the dynamic as well, of course, like family and stuff. I mean, the only member of our band that's got kids now is Paul, who's recently rejoined the band, because for 15 plus years we didn't have anything to do with Paul. So now he's actually back in the fold. I think I remember we did a gig with you guys, Scott, and you said we saw Paul doing all of the A1 hits.
So we
were thinking, why don't you just join A1, and he actually timing has worked out that he's joined the band, but he's got two little kids now, two little girls, so it's going to be a big family.
That's what we're saying now, is it's so nice that we're all doing it because we want to, not because we have to. So it's not like we're going, oh God, we need to do this. It's something that we want to do. We've all got families, we've all got responsibilities at home and stuff like that, and it's going to be such a nice thing to have the kids come along and they can enjoy what daddy does, and you know, the wives will be drinking. I've already got a picture. The wives will be drinking Prosecco.
Yeah, yeah.
The guys will be drinking rum and beer.
Nice.
And at some point during the night, we'll say hello to them, and then we'll have and we'll go on stage.
And then you've got to alternate. Who's going to check on the kids? No, it's your turn. Because I'm at the bar.
Yeah, we'll be at the bar. It's going to be
a messy tour.
It is going to be
chaotic in a good way. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Shall we go again?
Yeah.
Right, Scott, it's your turn.
Okay. That's got to be a fix. That number's got to be a fix. I mean, I'm Scott from Five, and this is number five.
The fifth best-selling single of all time in the UK is John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, You're the One That I Want.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
Number one for 9 weeks in 1978.
I can tell you that was actually number one when I was born. It's giving me age away now.
Wow.
There you go.
It sold 2.1 million copies. My question based on this song is, it's You're the One That I Want. So, if you could each steal a song from each other's catalogues, what would it be, if any?
I like this question. I've got it already.
Do round the table.
I'm done. I've got mine.
Yeah.
Can it be one from each band rather than just picking one band? Or
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go first. I mean, I would have to say Forever from you guys, because that's such a beautiful song. Lovely song. Always enjoyed that. When the Lights Go Out. Second, heard that song, quality pop song. Okay, is there a bit of history here? Okay, I'm bringing out a bad feeling.
No, carry on.
And of course, Body Shaking. Just even though we could never do it like you guys, we can never do the moves.
We can't
do
it anymore.
But that's...
Oh, that's setting the torch.
What was Abs's line? Like a rabid monkey on Big Reunion. But that's going to be interesting.
So yeah, that's for me. I mean, When the Lights, I mean, of course, Feeling, what was the big one? Keep On Moving, fantastic song as well. But the first, for me, that really stood out was When the Lights, that was a great tune. So what's the history here?
Sorry, go on, Jim. Go on. Go on.
I'll go second then, and I'll leave that till last. For me, Damage have got so many good songs, mainly because of my... I like all the old school soul, yeah. R&B mm-hmm. stuff anyway.
You're a proper soul head, you are. Yeah. For real.
Yeah. But I think probably Ghetto Romance, just because it's like... The production's obviously a lot more modern than it's now, mm-hmm. kind of got that kind of bass beat that is just unbelievable. Every time you hear it, it's just amazing.
Very
well. A1, probably, I quite like we had a song called Love Sensation, which was kind of the summer tune. So, and I kind of like the vibe that when it was then Caught in the Middle.
Yeah.
But it was like one of those things where it was kind of different in the way that you were doing your pop, people were doing their R&B, and people were doing kind of the summer songs. So for us, when we did Love Sensation, that was a great summer song. So I think Caught in the Middle, I think for A1, was a great pop track. And then we get on to 5. So, basically, they've got a song called When the Lights Go Out.
Uh-oh.
When we start, yeah, it's a big song, thanks for that. When we started, we kind of wrote with a guy called John McLaughlin, who wrote Body Shaking. And basically he came to us and went, right, I've got the second Body Shaking. It's called When the Lights Go Out. So we were like, okay. So played it and we were like, yeah, I love that. And then they took it to our management and our record company and they turned it down basically. And then
Why?
God knows. I just want to...
Those labels.
And yeah. 5.
And then 5 turned up and then they came up with this song, suddenly turned up and it was like, When the Lights Go Out. Massive hit.
It was slightly different though, wasn't it? The chorus was there.
Right.
So it kind of evolved into When the Lights Go Out. But it was, I remember, obviously known Jim for years, I remember him every time. I don't think we've ever had a conversation where he doesn't go, bloody When the Lights Go Out. he's got the ump about
it. Not bitter about it at all.
No. But you know, it wasn't that.
It's big, a fantastic
it
song.
Only
no?
went, it only was in the top 24 weeks in America. So it wasn't massive. I think it went to number 9 after 24 weeks.
So what did it get? What was it in the UK?
Number 2.
2?
Yeah.
See, if we'd have done it, it'd have been number
it'd
1,
be
wouldn't
number
it?
Number 7.
Number 1?
Number 7. All right, now, we were talking earlier about a song that people can join up and do. Well, there you go. Here's your song.
There it is.
There you are.
Jump on.
Sean would be like, Elnor.
No! Tell Jimmy to go body shaking down the road.
I do think though 9-1-1 can claim more top 40s overall than anyone.
I mean, I didn't want to put it out there, but you know, it speaks for itself.
I mean, if we're going to start doing that,
here we go.
If we're going to start doing that, we're going to have to start talking units, and then everyone might as well just walk out the door.
We are going to get onto that. I need the rest of these answers.
I'm going to go with A1. I think. It's Caught in the Middle. It's an absolute tune. I actually really like the song, so that one is one that we'd definitely like to do. 9-1-1. It would probably have to be Body Shaking because it is a tune.
Mm.
But we just changed that dance routine.
Yeah. For you guys, because you do nothing.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to change those routines.
I mean. Well,
I'm not sure your bones would.
I don't spin on my head because I'm, you know, a bit older now, but I've got a bit of decorum. it's a great song. Now Damage. Damage got so many.
Yep.
So many.
I'll be careful now because I've seen some of your interviews.
Listen.
And I've heard about you jumping on stage with us singing a couple of songs.
Yes,
so,
it's going to happen, so get over it. Right. I'm going to have a few rums and I'm coming on. But I've got to ask you a question, Mike. Can you do me a favour? Can you say the word kind for me now? Just say
it. Kind.
Say it again.
Kind.
One more.
Kind.
Right, so why in your song you go, nobody can change my mind, you're one of a kind.
Ah, okay. Okay, so within R&B and soul and stuff like that.
You don't have to say the word. No.
You don't have to finish your word, no.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Technique, innit?
So it would actually probably be forever.
And what it's called is a throwaway.
I know, we do it every
There you go.
That's a joke.
Forever. Okay.
Yeah, forever is, I just love it. But the one I'm going to be singing with them is...
Okay. That's a good one.
Love to Love.
Yeah, it's a tune.
It was Get a Romance last week.
Yeah, no, it's a tune.
Okay.
You guys are just so slick.
I mean, do you know what? I could say Get a Romance as well because it's that good. But although I renamed it for the tour, didn't I? Yeah. Did you get told?
No.
Get a Bromance.
Okay.
Yeah, liking that.
Okay. That could work. That could work.
I'm sensing a node.
Yeah.
You know, when we all get in the room together, all the bands together and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some form of magic flying around where we, you know, we discuss what we can actually do as a finale or as an encore or something. We've got to do something.
Yeah, something's got to happen.
We've got to do something for sure. All right, so songs for me. Everyone's picked my songs. Apart from Five, Slam Dunk the Funk.
Oh, finally.
When I heard that, I remember when I first heard it and I saw the video as well. I was big into my basketball as well. Do you know what I mean? All of my friends are basketball players. I want the song.
It is a good song.
Great song, man. Again, with 911, Body Shaking, it was the dance routines. Mm. You know, back in the day, we was all about our dancing as well. So we saw you guys and it was like, that's supposed to be us, you know. So it was all about the dance routine. A1, it was caught in the middle, big tune. But you've seen us when you lot sing Take On Me, it's a problem, it's an absolute problem. We're on the side singing it like it's our song,
Everyone's song, isn't it?
It's a great song.
Caught in the Middle is a fantastic song, but for us, I think Take On Me is just, you know, you did a fantastic version of it, and it's one of the songs that we would just say, yeah, we'll jump on stage with you. And sync back up and do a little routine for you as well.
There's going to be a lot of jumping on stage.
Is Ben bringing his tambourine with him?
He better. Well, actually, he usually forgets. I've got a tambourine backup. Yeah. But now Paul's back in the band, so there's a little bit of like, you know, a fight over who's going to play tambourine.
How's things now?
I tell you what, it's really strange because. Well, you know yourself when you have somebody come back in the band and it changes the dynamic because you get used to things being a certain way. I mean, we've been a three-piece now for longer than we were actually together as a band. So we were all very nervous about it, but actually he's in a good place in his life and the dynamic's been brilliant. Amazing. It's just taken us right back to the beginning, and he's worked really hard. He's got himself in shape and, you know, it's just the right time. Like when we were asked to do the big reunion, the show, Paul flatly said, no, I don't want to do this. I'm not interested in slinging mud and all that kind of stuff at each other, which was actually the right thing to do. You know, but he's in a good place now and looking good.
As a very quick round table, do you each of you know your band's best selling single?
I would assume
probably.
I'm going to start with you, Mark.
Yes. My best selling single. Wow. Some of the earlier singles, even though they weren't as big, they actually sold more. So I would say something like Every Time, but just for the longevity, I'm going to go Caught in the Middle, but I think it might be Every Time, but I'll go Caught in the Middle.
It's Take On Me.
I would have said it was Take On Me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
Okay.
Followed by Caught in the Middle.
Okay.
That's on Born in 2000,
wasn't
it?
Oh,
Jimmy?
Well, obviously a fan favourite's obviously Body Shaking, but...
Yes.
I'm going to go with, as it was number one, probably a little bit more.
It's really close, but it is Body Shaking.
Is it?
It's the best selling.
A little bit more second.
Followed by A Little Bit More.
Yeah.
It'd be Keep On Moving.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
okay, so for us,
that's a hard one for you.
Yeah.
This one surprised me.
It did?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Forever.
Correct.
Yeah, I said that.
Cause you would think, you know, One for Tonight, but no, Forever just sold packets.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember once, can't remember the exact figures, but it was something ridiculous. We the record company released one of our songs when the Titanic song was out. Like, you know what, you're not going to beat it. I think we sold 250,000 copies in 1 week and went to number three.
Wow.
We had the same with Hero, but Enrique, and I think we were on the same label, and I said, look, we can't release the same week as Hero, and this was with Caught in the Middle, and that was the biggest hit. And we knew that we weren't going to touch that, but we were number two for 2-3 weeks. And the thing is that would have been our biggest hit any other time, but it's just the way it goes, you know?
Shall we go again?
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Whose turn is it, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my age, 128. I thought I'd get that in before Scott does.
Going down the list a bit, it's a bit of a deeper cut. It's Eminem, Lose Yourself.
Oh.
Number one, okay. For 1 week in December 2012. 1.1 million copies sold.
Nice.
Right. My question based on this is kind of how fame changed your lives at the time. So you've already kind of touched on this where you said you almost don't appreciate it at the time because you're so busy. Mm. Did you all find yourselves getting like very wrapped up in fame at that moment? And how did you all deal with it?
Good question. Who's going to start?
I'll start. Russ from Damage. I didn't get wrapped up in it. And the reason being is because all of the band came from very kind of like stern homes where if you felt like you can walk in the house with a big head, that would get popped straight away.
Right.
So, I mean, like, at that particular time, we was all 16, 17, Jade, I think, might have been about 15, maybe even 14. But, you know, you go home, you still got chores to do. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You go home and, you know, if you haven't washed the dishes or cleaned your room, it doesn't matter where you are in the charts. Mum's telling you to go to your room, yeah, and look under the bed and take out all the plates, yeah, wash them up, hoover your bedroom, yeah, and put your smelly drawers in the washing machine. You know what I mean? So yeah, we had a solid foundation growing up. So it didn't really hit us until, I guess, when we started touring. Maybe when we toured with Mariah Carey. That it was just like, wow, this is quite something. But even still, we was already quite grounded by then, so no.
Oh, good, solid, mm. Solid parenting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, it's similar, but not with the parents. So basically, for me personally in the band, I didn't let myself buy into the fact of being big-headed because I just didn't get it. I always wanted to be. I knew I was being successful, I knew I was doing well, and I was really happy with my life choices, but I'd go home, and I mean, I've been married now since 2001. I've been with my wife all the way through, so my girlfriend in the band was my wife
right.
Now.
Mm.
So she kept me grounded, like so grounded, and we had kids quite, you know, before I left the band, I had my first boy, who's now 18 years old. So that kept me grounded, and I think just having, you know, solid family unit, as you know, as I said, like mum and dad were always like, you know, don't get too carried away. And it would have been very, very easy to, you know, think, oh, right, okay, just get the penthouse in London and, you know, let's, you know, live it like that.
But
you
get sucked
in. Yeah, you get sucked in. And I've seen people do it. And yeah. I've seen very close people do it as well, like people that I know very well. And, you know, and it's no life. So basically, it's very, very, it's good to be humble. It's good to literally be that person that can appreciate what they've got and don't move, but also just a normal, I'm just a normal lad. I still live in the same town that I grew up in. Okay, my house is nice and I've got a nice car or whatever, but my friends are still my friends. Mm. And I still play, you know, Wednesday night football, you know, with my pals, yeah. Go down the local boozer, drink a beer.
Yeah, and you worked hard for it.
Yeah.
I thought five were the ones getting all the drinks in, doing the
party.
That's definitely what I thought.
Abs got completely sucked in.
Yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, he done the old penthouse and the drinking, the drugs and all that. And, you know, to be honest, it hasn't done him any favours.
Mm. So.
I think a lot, like Scott, I think a lot of it is attitude as well. When you go into this business, you realize you can either see, you know, the business is either you see it as the glamour and all the rest of it, or you can kind of go, it is a business at the end of the day, and whether or not you make it work for yourself. Yeah. The difference with us was we were, so myself and Spike were friends before anyway. We used to do a TV show called Hitman and Her, which is way back. And then we kind of auditioned Lee, but it was one of those where we were just getting turned down everywhere from anybody that we approached. And even when we released our first single, we had to do it we had to bring a finance guy in to release it because the labels just weren't interested. Right. And then we kind of got to a situation where, because the single that we released went straight in at number 11 midweek, was unheard of because we had no label, no magazines, no PR or anything. So because of that, it kept us grounded in a way that that every turn that we made, we were always being turned down. And even when the labels kind of came on board and, you know, it started like a bidding war. But then even when we got a deal, it was like, well, we don't know if this is going to end next week.
Yeah.
So it was more about, for us, it was just a case of, well, we know we've got a 4-album deal, but at any time they could just go, well, it's just not working. So they'll just pay you off and that's that. So every single for us was always one of those where we just go, well, let's promote this single. If it all ends next week, we've had a great time. You know, we just done a couple of flights to Europe and that's that.
Yeah.
So I think it is really just about attitude in this business to realise that it is just a business. You can enjoy it. I'm sure a lot of people think that flying around the world on planes is glamorous and stuff, but everyone here will tell you that there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of stress. It's exhausting, you know what I mean? So for me, I think personally, it's just down to your attitude within the business, really.
Because you were all initially operating in a time where it was like, if a single didn't do well, like fans were like, oh my God, this group could be like at risk of not releasing another single. Yeah. I remember that period. But did someone kind of sit you down and say, this is what happens when
No. Generally, in all areas, you didn't really get a lot of kind of training in that sense, and nobody really sort of prepares you for what's going to happen. You just get so, it all happens so fast, and you're just totally caught up in that whirlwind of it all. You know, as Scott said at the start, you don't get a chance to appreciate it all first time around because you just don't stop. But there was only a couple of times where we actually had media training where certain things happened and we really needed some guidance. But other than that, you just kind of learn as you go. And similar to the guys, I had very sort of grounded family upbringing. So, and three of us in the band all grew up in a very musical family. So we'd kind of been doing it from a very young age anyway. Like Christian in the band from Norway, his dad is like a big star over there. So it was kind of just a given that he would be doing this. And so I think, you know, and I think it's just always what I wanted to do and always what we wanted to do. So kind of it was just, I mean, for me, I'd been playing in bands since I was like 11. So it's just kind of a continuation. And you're always sort of thinking about the next single and, you know, the pressure of, okay, we've just had a, you know, top five here or a number one. What about the next one? And you just don't get a chance to kind of stop and take it all in. So.
Yeah. But how nice you get to do it now.
Sorry?
How nice you get to do it now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, going back to what we were talking about earlier, never, ever would have imagined that we'd still be together as, you know, all these bands talking about things that we did 20 years ago. So we just, every single day, just really appreciate the fact that we're still doing this. I mean, you know, to still be in a boy band at age 40 is just hilarious.
Man band.
Yeah.
And when a band decides to call it a day or hiatus or split, does life literally just change in an instant? Or
wow, so I've got a weird one for that, a weird answer for that. So we imploded, we were number one with Let's Dance at the time, and I was having a breakdown, like I wasn't well,
right?
And I was like, no, I can't do it anymore. My son had just been born, he was 2 months old, he was born premature. He was in an incubator, wasn't breathing himself properly, and they're trying to get me to go on Top of the Pops. And I said, I don't care about Top of the Pops. I said, I'm going to be at the hospital with my son.
Yeah.
And so when we broke up on the 27th of September 2001. I got married on the 28th.
Really?
So what happened was, it was the end of one life and the start of a new one.
Yeah.
So it was something to, and that's all solely what I'd done, so didn't have time to dwell on it or worry about it. I got married and I was a dad, and I just lived my life, and it was fantastic. So it was that, and it's that now that has gone full circle. Now my kids can now watch me on stage doing what I used to do and what I now have been doing since the reunion. We've not stopped. We're just gig after gig after gig, and it's incredible. And that's like the pinch yourself moment. You go, right, be given this opportunity. I appreciate it. Every day I wake up and go, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm 40 this year, and she's sadly 40. You know, would I have said I'd be in a boy band now? No. But I'm enjoying it now. Well, I'm enjoying it now. I didn't before.
Right.
Yeah, I love every second of it now.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's great.
I know we're pressed for time. Can I do one more really quick?
Yeah,
one
absolutely.
More. It's a quick question. So.
Sure.
One, one, eight. 118.
So 118 is Take That.
Whoa.
Okay.
Back That's for Good. Bad.
Oh,
Back
June.
For Good.
June.
Wow. Okay.
June.
Number one for 4 weeks in 1995.
Fantastic.
1.12 million copies sold. Obviously, as you said, you've been back. You've been touring and together just in a different capacity now for a while, right, with each group.
Mm.
So, any new music? Is anyone into the idea of recording new music?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as a band, we're working on a new album at the moment, and we're in the middle of a writing. We just did a writing week over in Norway, got a lot of great songs. And that's the thing, that's the first time we'd written together as a four-piece, because one of the things that sort of started the band sort of falling apart was, you know, disagreements when writing. It's very hard to have four guys in the room writing together and everybody's got such different ideas, such different personalities, because nobody's right, nobody's wrong, but actually kind of getting on the same page to make a whole album is harder than you think. So, I mean, even though you hear a lot of songs these days, I've got like eight writers on them, even more and stuff. But yeah, so we're writing together again and hoping to put something out next year. A lot of it nowadays, it's about having the, you know, if you don't have massive label support, like back in the day, we'd have, you know, obviously this big machine happening and where they could say, you know, we've got Beyonce, so we want you to play A1. So you've kind of got, you know, that bargaining power behind you. But when you're independent, as we are now, you've got to think of other ways to get music out there. So Waiting for Daylight was my favourite album that we ever did, yet not many people have heard it. That's cool.
Anyone else, new music?
It's a weird one because... We went to Sweden a couple of years ago, and we wrote some new songs for us, not for anyone else. It was just, should we go into the studio and just have a laugh? And we wrote some really cool songs. And do you know what? I will say they're really good songs. We're never going to release them. And that
Why?
Sounds mental. They're there. Mm-hmm. Because we've done it, it's different. It's like, for us, we think that at the moment people want to hear what we've done, not they don't want to hear new stuff in our opinion at the moment. So we're kind of going, right, if we release these songs, who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for ourselves or are we doing it for the fans?
Yeah.
And at the moment we're thinking maybe it's better that they hear the hits and we know they're good, we know that they are, and never say never, but I just can't see it. I can't see it. It's like, you know, when you do, it's like if Five went on and we done Keep On Moving and then we said, right, here's a new one. What's going to go down better? Keep On Moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though the new one could be as good or better, they don't know it. So there's a lull in the show at that point, you know, so we go, no, let's give them the hits. Bang, 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 bang. See you later. Back in the bar.
Yeah. I quite like the way All Saints do it because they are putting out albums, but they only incorporate maybe one new song into their set list.
Yeah.
So it's something that, as I say, that, you know, we wanted to know if we could still write and if we could still do it, and it works. It was really good. But no, they're just on my phone.
Nice.
Yeah.
God, that's the fight hold.
Yeah.
I think touching on what Scott said, it's really down to a case of whether, if you don't have the machine behind you anymore, it's one of those where, well, what's the point? Because if you're going to go and do your hits and then, you know, you do a new song, they're like, well, we paid a ticket to come, we want to hear what it was like back in the day. So if you've got a machine behind it, that's great. If you haven't, then you're going to struggle just to get it out there. We did a new album a few years ago after the big reunion. We have talked about it because next year when we do the tour is 25 year anniversary for us.
25 years.
So we're kind of, you know, it's in the mix. We're kind of obviously talking to some people and when we did the last album 2-3 years ago, there's still a hell of a lot of songs left that we did. So there's a possibility of going in and back into the studio, doing more, collecting them all back together and going, right, okay, do we do this, celebrate 25 years? I guess, like, didn't Boyzone do that recently, 25-year thing? Yeah. So it's kind of expected, if you like. It might not particularly be a full album. We might just do, like, a couple of remixes and then throw some new stuff on there. So possibly, don't know at the minute.
Damn it. Okay. The now and forever tour.
All right, so we did exactly what everyone else done here. We did a writing week, and we came out with some absolute bangers, just like yourself, Scott. But you would never hear them.
Right.
You would never hear them. We even went a step further and did a video. You would never see that video. Yeah, I even tried to get the boys this, look, just as a little throwback, let's just throw it out there. It's a great video. The song's all right, do you know what I mean? But the song wasn't necessarily meant for chart success. It was just meant for hype, publicity, blah, blah, blah. But
you're going to play it to me later, right?
Maybe.
Well, I think on tour we're going to hear all this.
Yeah. I don't actually have that on my phone, but I think when we're on tour we will share a lot of those kind of things. But no, we've got a catalogue of, you know, new songs that probably will not hear the light of day, just like Scott said.
We've got a song that was a hit, but it wasn't a massive hit, that we hate. It's right. Called
yes.
I Wanna Let You Go.
Oh, yeah.
It's shit.
Oh. Right?
Sorry. It's rubbish, right? We don't like it. And they don't like it. So when we, and every now and again, you know, when you do like a big, like they say, oh, can you do an hour? We go, an hour? How much you paid me for this hour? And you go, and I sit there, and the boy, I'm the one that organises the music, right? So I go to the boys.
You have to put it
in.
You
have to put it in, yeah.
Don't want to let it go. He's got to go in, boys. He's got to go in.
While we're on this subject, because I have this conversation with my lads from the band, is there a song from your guy that you don't like doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
What song is it for you?
Well, it's obviously that one. Yeah. Right, okay. And I don't even like...
Try and guess, because we never do it. We never do it. Rumours.
Oh, okay.
Rumours, we hardly ever do it.
Is it because you all hate it, or is it just
because... Yeah, until the time, yes, obviously, like, was a big tune for us, a big ballad, that we don't do. And it was a big success song, and it was a different song for Five. Obviously, it was more singing, not rappy, and blah, blah, blah. But you'll watch a show, you'll see it not a lot.
Yeah, right. You so we put Rumours in, but it's a completely different version. It's
really?
Completely changed, and we've had to revamp it so that we enjoy it. You know, so where we can do away with it, we do away with it. But when we do put it in, it's a different version. You know, people might not even recognise it.
For us, this is a song called No More, which was one of our latest singles. We shot the video in Singapore. It was a really cool video, but it was one of the songs we didn't write. And I don't know, we just didn't have any kind of connection to it. And there was a lot of politics getting it on the album and at the time. But it was a top six. So, but doing it in the sets now, as you say, when you have a longer show, it just means that we have to learn the dance routine again. And it just doesn't fit in with the set. And I don't really know if the fans like it that much. It goes down okay.
It's got to be a vibe thing. I look at the crowd when I'm singing Keep On Moving, If You Get Down, when the lights are out, I'm looking up and see them buzzing. When I'm going, don't wanna let you go. I don't even understand why we had to do that bit louder. Why did we have to go, don't wanna let you go? We just wanna let you go. It's shit.
Some producers.
The producers have these funny ideas.
I don't like it. So I don't like it. It's not getting, we're not doing it on the tour.
Fair enough.
No. You heard it here first.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing Take the Hit.
Sorry, good game.
Thanks, guys. I loved how much camaraderie there is between them. I guess there aren't many people who have been through the whirlwind of fame in the way that they have, and it was great to see how much they support each other. If you enjoyed this episode, then please give us a rating and review if you can, as it helps others to discover the show. And remember, you can keep up with the UK's weekly official singles and albums charts, as heard on BBC Radio 1, plus loads more news and features on officialcharts.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.